and welcome back to the Bold Business Podcast. I am so excited because I am actually recording the very first episode being back from my quote unquote maternity leave, which we'll kind of get into, but I guess it wasn't a full on maternity leave in the traditional sense, which I kind of prepped you guys for a little bit too. But one of the things that ended up happening while I was on maternity leave, a little bit unexpected, is I took an entire month off of social media. And during that time, I 2X'd our revenue. And in this episode, I want to dive into exactly how I went about doing that and what that looks like. So if you're interested in taking a nice little hiatus, whether that's for a couple of days or a week or a month, you have the blueprint to do so. Hey there, I'm Amanda, a Southern mama with big city sensibilities. I'm the girl that took a daydream and built a profitable virtual assistant business all in the middle of a global pandemic. Now, I work from home alongside some of the biggest bloggers and influencers while running a six-figure online business. I'm taking you along for the ride as we dive into business, marketing, strategy, and real life as a female entrepreneur. I'm all about simple, easy, actionable steps that get real results. This podcast is for the dreamers, the doers, and the go-getters. So let's kick imposter syndrome together and pull back the curtain on how to actually make money online. Get ready as we dig in, do the work, and tackle those big dreams I know you've been dreaming up. This is the Bold Business Podcast. So it's kind of funny because I was like so excited to record today. Before I had my second son, his name is Wallace, I batch recorded a ton of podcast episodes. Honestly, we have so many amazing guest episodes coming to you guys that I think we might be on the calendar like all the way into August, maybe September. So that's really exciting. And if you're ever interested in being a guest on the podcast, you can head to the virtualassistantstudio.com/podcast. And we have a guest form that you can fill out where it'll have you put in like your name and information and all that kind of good stuff. If you're interested in being on the podcast, I'd love to have you. So I am back in my closet recording and it truly feels so good. Like I said, in today's episode, we're going to be diving into something totally unexpected and completely unplanned that happened in my business that I literally just couldn't keep to myself. And I'm diving into how I unintentionally took a month off of social media, like literally a true hiatus, and I still managed to increase revenue within the business. It's no secret that I've preached to you guys, you don't need a massive social media following and you don't need a fancy website to be successful. I literally say that on the sales page for our course because I couldn't believe it to be true anymore. And I think what I'm about to share with you is further proof of that, even at the stage of business that I'm in. Now, before I dive into how I increased revenue in my business, all while caring for a newborn baby at home, I feel like I need to circle back to the no website and no social media because I think I kind of breezed over that a little bit. So here's the thing. Does a fancy website with gorgeous branding totally help to solidify you as a brand? Yes, that is accurate. But what I really mean here is when you're first starting out, you truly don't need any of that. Oftentimes, I feel like we let the big things like building out a completely custom website and choosing the perfect logo and all of those like little nitty-gritty things hold us back from taking action steps that are actually going to drive results and lead to profit within your business. And the same goes for social media. So a lot of times when we first start out, you know, we think we have to post consistently and we have to do all of these things. And while I believe that social media is an extremely powerful tool, hence like why my entire business is built on supporting bloggers and influencers. Like, I clearly believe in the power of social media. I just think as a service-based business, a lot of times in the beginning when you're building out your audience on social media, the people that are following you are other people in your industry, and they're not necessarily your ideal client. A lot of times I've noticed that when somebody finds us on social, it's because they literally went to the search bar and typed in virtual assistant, filtered through like 10 or 15 people, and then picked the ones that they felt most aligned with. It's not that they were like following along for 6 months and then finally made the decision to reach out to us and book our services. So, and that's based on our niche. I feel like that could be different for other niches, but that's typically what I see. And even then, I feel like our social media, the people that do follow along or other people in the industry or their potential students that we're serving, and it's really like a point of connection for them and they're learning and getting value. But again, it's not like our ideal client on the services side of our business. So just something to think about when, you know, you're just starting out, you may not want to spend all your time dumping into your social media. Not to say that it's not important and you shouldn't have it, but it's not going to be what ends up growing and scaling your business. You're not going to have a true impact on social media until you've built up a large audience, which comes with time. And if you want to hear more kind of about how I structure building out a virtual assistant business and what I do instead of focusing on social media, I do have a free live training that you can watch. It's just under an hour, and you can head to the link in my bio on Instagram at thevirtualassistantstudio.com, and that is there for you. And there's so many good like nuggets and tidbits in that training that if building a virtual assistant business or being a virtual assistant is something that you're interested in, I highly recommend going to check out that training. Okay, circling back to the good stuff. So in case you missed it, I had my second son, his name is Wallace Lynn Holmes, on March 17th, so St. Patrick's Day, and he truly is our lucky little St. Patrick's Day baby. I have been meaning to record a video all about his birth story. It was funny because we weren't sure if he was going to be born on St. Patrick's Day, but obviously his due date was near then. And, you know, most people aren't born on their due date, so the likelihood of him being born on St. Patrick's Day was a little bit higher. And we had like this baby pool going on with our family. And it was funny because my sister had St. Patrick's Day, so she was like really pulling for it. And long story short, he did end up being born on St. Patrick's Day at like 10 p.m. So he just barely made it, but he made it. And I'll tell you guys more about the whole, just how that transpired and like the craziness of the birth. But we'll save that for his birth story episode, which will probably be coming to you guys here over the next few weeks. I think I'm going to have my husband Josh back on so that you can hear his side of the story. And it's just, it was funny. It was so different than our first. So to be honest, I didn't really have a super clear plan for what maternity leave was going to look like. I had like structures and systems in place as far as like taking care of our clients, but I wasn't sure like how much I would be working, how little I would be working, when I would feel like coming back into the business, like just what that whole process would look like. So I kind of left it open, which I mean, I feel like it ended up working out pretty well. The team was in such a great place with our current client load, and I felt comfortable working some while like the baby was napping, knowing that I was going to have support from my husband while he was home for those first few weeks. And we got really lucky. His company gave him 4 weeks paid paternity leave, and then we extended his time off by an additional 2 weeks through FMLA. So 6 weeks total, which originally when we were like planning this all out, we're like, oh my gosh, 6 weeks, like that is so much time. That's amazing. This is going to be so great. And then let's just say like we blinked and those 6 weeks were gone. It's funny because I didn't really know what to expect juggling two kids. And I think it's like anything, you know, like you don't know what you don't know. But I think balancing the business on top of that, I'm going to be honest, like there were many moments where we're like, Okay, this is a lot. And it's funny because I was having a conversation with a peer of mine. She's also a mom of multiple kids. And I told her, I was like, I don't know if it's just me, but so many people said like the biggest transition is from 0 to 1, which I agree in the sense that like your whole life changes. But 1 to 2 was just, I think, more of a challenge. And again, this is totally my experience. I'm sure this isn't the case for everybody, but we were like, okay, like this is a lot. Not that we're not thankful and not that we're just not in like blissful state to like be able to parent both of these children. But I mean, when you have like a 2-year-old who's like in the middle of potty training and then you like bring another baby into the world and then you're like trying to work from home, it just like all the lines are very blurred. But all that to say, we're now 8 weeks out. I'm feeling much better. My husband has gone back to work, so I kind of had to like figure out, you know, my new schedule, just like having the baby at home with me and still working and getting Beckham off to school and all of that. But it's going good. I think we are managing. I wouldn't say we're like thriving yet, but we're managing and I'm cool with where we are. So I am, however, looking forward to when that sweet little baby decides to start sleeping through the night. I think once we get there, it's going to be like a whole nother levels of game changing, because I feel like some days my brain is like at 50% capacity because I had to wake up with him too many times throughout the night. And then other days I'm like, oh, we've got this. So it's just funny, like the roller coasters of motherhood, as I'm sure you can relate to. So all of that to be said, in those early weeks when we first brought Wallace home from the hospital and we were trying to sort of figure out like our life as a family of four, one thing that I didn't expect is that recovery was much different with my second than it was with my first. And I don't think I was fully prepared for recovering from the birth while taking care of a baby, while taking care of a toddler, while running a business. So that kind of, I think, threw a little bit of a wrench into my like so-called plan. And I'll probably chat a little bit more about that when I share his birth story too. But I think like those first 4 weeks, they were just like survival mode. So for me specifically, like the thought of taking time to show up online was like at the very bottom of my to-do list. Mentally, I just like didn't have the energy to like completely like, not to say that you have to like get ready to show up on social media, but I mean, we were like next level need to like shower. So I was not like about to like pop on the stories or anything like that. And really, I was just trying to like soak up that the newborn snuggles, as they say, and like really be in the moment and not on my phone so much, unless I was obviously working or whatever. So it's kind of funny because like I like didn't really post, and then it's kind of like working out where like once you're in the routine of it, like it's no big deal, like you just do it and it's all good. But then like if you stop working out, it's like so much harder to like go back to the gym and get started again. And that's like kind of how it was with social media for me. So like I feel like I blinked and a month went by and I was like, oh my gosh, like I literally haven't posted. And it was kind of nice to be like off the grid a little bit. Not to say that I'm like a, you know, a huge social media person or anything like that, but just to not have to feel like, you know, you have to like show up and be this perfect version of yourself. So I think like the most beautiful part about this like very long story is that during this time, I was able to increase our revenue during our business despite being off social media completely. So behind the scenes of business was literally wild and crazy, like truth be told. And it's still a little wild and crazy right now, which is part of why we are looking to expand our team, which has been just the most beautiful blessing. We actually just hired on 2 new team members, which I could not be more excited about them. I think they are going to just thrive in the business. They're going to be able to serve our clients really well. They're excited about being part of the studio, and it's going to be great. So you're probably thinking like, okay, like that's really great for you and all, but like, okay, give me the details. Like, how did you actually make that happen? And I'm going to be honest, it's really a combination of a few different things. And the funny thing about business is I feel like sometimes it's like rolling a snowball. Like at first you're like packing it and putting all this effort in and rolling it and padding it. And it's like kind of sticking together, like kind of starting to get bigger. But then eventually like the snowball sticks together, it takes off, it literally starts rolling down the hill and it's getting bigger and faster and stronger. And I feel like that's kind of like how business is. Like you don't always know like that exact point when it's going to like take off down the hill and start to like grab all the extra snow. And it's tricky because like you can't pinpoint that, but like you know it's going to happen at some point. And for us, it was like literally the month that I had Wallace was like, boom, it's go time. So behind the scenes, I had been working on refining things like our sales machine for a course and organic marketing strategies and how do you get the word out there? Like for your business, like any other business owner wants to do, you want to try to get in front of new audiences so that you can find more of your ideal person, whether that be a client or whether that be a student or somebody to purchase your product. Like it can look different depending on what your business model is, but essentially it's the same strategy. And I think for us, it just so happened where all of these things sort of came together and worked simultaneously, but they also kind of happened at the same time, which was a little wild and a little crazy, but a beautiful blessing. So literally the day that I was induced with Wallace, we signed on 3 new clients, which is amazing. And it just goes to show like what happens when you continue to push forward and you're putting out positive energy into the world and you're trusting that like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm staying in my lane and like things are going to work out. They're going to continue to grow. So I just want to encourage you if you're feeling like, gosh, I've been packing this snowball for a long time. Like when is it going to start rolling on its own? Like keep going. Like I promise the snowball will go down the hill eventually. And I don't know why I chose the snowball analogy, but we're rolling with it, pun intended. So the other thing I want you to think about is really, how can you get in front of new audiences? And I think this is the biggest thing for us that is completely free. Like, how can you get your face in front of new audiences and build mutually beneficial relationships, whether this is through PR on social media, which is ironic since I know I'm talking about being off social media, like maybe doing an in-person meetup. There's so many different ways. Maybe being a guest on another person's podcast. As long as you can find somebody that aligned in a similar niche, maybe you guys have like overlapping audiences in a sense, but you could both serve each other's audiences. Like this would be an ideal situation. So think about other entrepreneurs that you could pair up with. Maybe you could do like a live training together, or you could offer to give something of value to each of your audiences via email. You could create like a free bundle where like multiple friends of yours in the business create all these freebies and bundle them together and then send them out to your list. I feel like there's so many different ways that you can go about this, but really, it's all about thinking about, okay, where is my ideal client and how can I get in front of them? Because I really want you to think about it not as like a skeezy sales tactic, but if they don't know about your service, then like you're not doing yourself or them any justice because you have something of value that they probably need, and keeping that from them is not a great strategy either. So like you want them to know about whatever it is that you're offering. And if you're in the service-based industry, the last thing I want you to think about is ways that you can pitch yourself to your ideal client. So if you haven't already, go back and listen to episode 15 where we chat with Anne all about like systems and the importance of a really well-ironed out client process. And I want you to think about your current client experience. And if you feel like social media is the end-all be-all and you couldn't possibly take time away from that, I challenge you to start taking even just a day off, maybe a weekend off. Because trust me when I say, if you've truly built a sustainable business and an engaged audience, they will be there when you come back. I promise. So to recap the 3 different strategies that we use, 1, we built out an automated sales machine on the back end so that we have leads going into our business on autopilot. Two, we partnered with other people in our industry in order to get in front of new audiences. And three, we take time to pitch ourselves. We're all about like attracting, but at the same time, like you have to put yourself out there and get in front of new audiences. Otherwise, how is anybody going to know you? All that to be said, those are three very easy tactical things that you can do literally today in your business. And with those three things in place, you won't have to worry about showing up on social media, and you can show up when it's fun and convenient to you, and it won't feel like it's a responsibility, and that you won't have this pull to be like, oh, I haven't posted today. You'll be like, oh, I haven't posted today. That's cool. I'll post later this evening. No big deal, because your audience is there. You've built a sustainable business, and social media is not the end all be all for you. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed this mini episode all about how I personally 2x'd our revenue while taking a month social media hiatus. I cannot wait for more chats just like this. If there is a topic that you would love for me to cover or something that you'd love for me to teach on, shoot me a DM on Instagram over at The Bold Business Podcast. I can't wait to hear from you. Until next time. I'm over here doing a little happy dance because you just finished another episode of The Bold Business Podcast. Is it just me, or was that filled to the brim with juicy goodness? If you're anything like me and are wanting even more business, marketing, and strategy tips coupled with real life, follow along with us over on Instagram at The Bold Business Podcast. And be sure to check out the show notes for any free resources, links mentioned, or coupon codes and more. And if you loved this episode, please do me a favor and go ahead and tap that subscribe button and leave us a review. Until next time, and remember, let's be bold together.